are living in urgent times, if you are living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Anne McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
My friends, I am so excited to be back live with you today, July 12th, on this steamy hot day. I am so grateful. I've been off the air with rebroadcast and some amazing radio by Dr. Anton Raimondo. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your prayers. Again, it's July 12th. I'm Anne McClone. I'm live with you. I'm calling in from a remote location. And I just really wanted to thank all of you before beginning this broadcast for your prayers and support through the last 2 months. I had some serious eye surgery in early May, and it didn't go as well as the doctors thought, and I had to rest. Resting mean I couldn't read, couldn't drive, and couldn't do a lot of things, so I am so grateful for the help of Maureen and the rebroadcast, and of course, the infamous Dr. Anton Raimondo. When I get back in the studio, I want to bring Dr. Raimondo in because I want to interview him. His full testimony is astonishing. What a holy, gentle giant. So again, Anton, if you're listening, when I come back into the studio, please, we'll set up a date for you to come in for the listeners to know your entire story, your entire amazing testimony. But thank you, Dr. Raimondo, for your love, your prayers, and your incredible teaching over the past few weeks. I personally listened to some of the broadcasts, and I told my husband, oh, I really like hearing him. I learned so much. So thank you again. From the bottom of my heart. And thank you, dear listeners, for your cards, your emails, your text, and, of course, your prayers. I'm still on the mend. I'm not quite there, but at least I can be back on the air, and I can read. I can actually read. My friends, let us start with prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray that people who have never listened to this radio station will listen today, for people who are hurting, who are desperate, who are crying from the bottom of their hearts, that you will be healed through this broadcast. And I pray for those who are climbing high today and having a great day, that you reach back and pray for those who are hurting. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and the intercession of the Blessed Mother, we thank you, Lord, and praise you, and we dedicate this program to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Well, I did a couple hours of preparation for this program today because I really chose not to have a guest to come back live. And again, I'm calling from a couple hours away in terms of my driving. I'm located in a wooded location in Maryland. So I hope the audio is great. I'm using my husband's cell phone. No landlines are down here. So I wanted to talk to you about insensitive slurs. That's S-L-U-R-S. And I found incredible writings, and many of you remember from last summer, Max Lucado or Lucado. And I want to read this to you because it's short and it's powerful. And then I'm going to lead all of you into discerning God's will and what the Lord placed on my heart today. Insensitivity makes a wound that heals slowly. If someone hurts your feelings intentionally, you know how to react. You know the source of the pain. But if someone accidentally bruises your soul, it's difficult to know how to respond. Someone at work criticizes the new boss, who also happens to be your dear friend. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot the two of you were so close. A joke is told at a party about overweight people. Oh, you're overweight. You hear the joke. You smile politely while your heart sinks to the bottom. What was intended to be a reprimand for a decision or action becomes a personal attack to you. You have a history of poor decisions. Someone chooses to wash your dirty laundry in public. Hey, John, Mary, George, is it true that you and Jim are separated? Insensitive comments, thoughts that should have remained thoughts, feelings which had no business being expressed, opinions carelessly tossed like a grenade into a crowd. And if you were to tell the one who threw these thoughtless darts about the pain they caused to your heart, their response would be, and I'm quoting, "Oh, but I had no intention to hurt you. I didn't realize you were so sensitive." Or, "I forgot you were here." In a way, the words are comforting until you stop to think about them, which is not recommended, my friends. For when you start to think about insensitive slurs, you realize they come from an infamous family whose father has bred generations of pain. His name? Take a guess. Egotism. His children? 3 sisters. Disregard, disrespect, and disappointment. These 3 things have combined to poison countless relationships in your life and break innumerable hearts. Listed among their weapons are Satan's cruelest artillery, gossip, accusations, resentment, impatience, and on and on and on. And listed under the title of subterfuge is this poison of insensitivity. It's called subterfuge because it's so subtle. Just a slip of the tongue. Oh, you think that's nothing. Just a blank of memory. Oh, that's nothing. No one is at fault. No harm done, right? Oh, perhaps and perhaps not. For as the innocent attackers go on their way, excusing themselves for things done without harmful intention, a wounded soul is left in the dust. Confused. If no one was intended to hurt me, then, God, why do I hurt so badly? God's word has strong medicine for those who carelessly wag their tongues. I'm going to say it. God's word is the remedy for those who wag their tongues. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his or her life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. He or she who guards their lips guards their life, but he or she who speaks rashly will come to ruin. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. The message, my friends, is clear. He who dares to call himself God's ambassador or child is not afforded the luxury of idle words. Excuses such, I didn't know you were here, or I didn't realize this was so touchy to you, or shallow when they come from those who claim to be followers, imitators, and friends of the Lord. We have an added responsibility to guard our tongues. These practical tips will purge careless words from your talk today. Are you ready? Again, this is written by Max Lucado, L-U-C-A-D-O, famous author, preacher. Number 1, never, ever tell jokes that slander another. Number 2, never criticize in public unless you have already expressed your disappointment with the other person privately. Have already taken someone with you to discuss the grievance with the person and are absolutely convinced that public reprimand is necessary and will be helpful, and that's rare. Number three, never say anything about anyone in their absence that you wouldn't say in their presence. Insensitive slurs may be accidental, but they are not excusable. Felt strongly about this today. Not much else is necessary. But again, I highly recommend the writings of Max Lucado, L-U-C-A-D-O, New York Times bestselling author. And so this led me to another topic, which, because I haven't been with you for 2 months, I really felt quite strongly about this as well, because it really dovetails into insensitive slurs and gossip and how we are so quick and impulsive to judge others. And that is, how do we surrender and discover God's will in our lives when we're so messed up, we're so confused, we're so lost, we're so lonely? The first thing that you have to realize when you're trying to discern the will of God is that God has a plan for your life. So no matter how confused or hurting you are today, or sick, physically, emotionally, or spiritually, God has a plan for your life. And most people, I used to think this way, think that God just sits back and says, okay, go for it, Annie, because he gives us free will and we can do anything we want. Well, you can't do anything you want, and he did give you free will, but he has a plan for your life. If you're listening to me today, whether you think it's by accident or you're channel surfing or you listen to this radio network, God has a plan for your life. You can do what you want, or you can do what God wants. It's your choice. Before you were even born, God had a specific will for your life. Did you know that? We see this in the call of Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I dedicated you a prophet to the nations I appointed you. I want you to read Jeremiah 1, verse 5 tonight. Just as God had a plan for Jeremiah, he has one for you. He has a plan for every one of you who are listening today, every one of you. As long as you are alive, God still has a plan for you. Every day when you wake up, God has a plan for your day. Yes, it's not just a mumble-jumble day of chaos, hurt, pain, finances. He has a plan. This is also why discernment is so important. Every day, you, no matter who you are, if you're sitting in a homeless shelter, a prison, a house, an office, in your car, at the pool, on a beach, you have a vocation. Yes, you have a vocation, a reason that God created you. But every day, God has a plan for your life. When we have a listening heart, we follow that plan. So you're asking me right now if I had a call-in program, and I may. Well, what does God want of me? Where should I go? What should I do with my life? Your life is already planned out by God. What you need to learn and discover today as you listen is what he wants you to do. But you don't need to make it up as you go. You don't need to make it up as you go. You think you do, but you don't. From the very beginning of creation, my friends, God had a plan for you, me, everyone who's listening, even your enemies, just as God has a plan for all of us. And you have to believe that. You have to believe it. You have to believe that your life is not a bunch of chaos, that you try to make the best of with which you have been dealt. Cancer, mental depression, COVID, a divorce, separation, a death. Your life is a product of the plan of God. But for it to make sense today, you have to say yes to his plan, just like Jeremiah did, just like the Blessed Mother did, and just like Jesus did. Now, I want you to write this down, because after the program, I want you to read Ephesians 1, verses 4. St. Paul reminds us God chose us in him before the world began. We've already talked about this, and he has a plan for you that was in place before the world began. Can you believe that? I know some of you have a hard time believing it. I had a hard time believing it for years. God had a plan for my life before I was even born. You are not a mistake. You were planned. I'm going to say that 55 times. You're not a mistake. You were planned. He has chosen you by name. That's right, by name. Now, you must cooperate with this plan, friends, and believe in this reality. This is the first step in discovering God's will for your life. So, let's repeat it. You're not a mistake, and you were planned. My sense today in preparing for several hours this program was that we have so many people who feel lost. You're turning in circles emotionally, spiritually. You have nowhere to go. You just have lost your rudder. Listen, write this down. You're not a mistake. You were planned. And it's the first step in realizing it that God has a will for your life, no matter how hopeless you feel today. The second step requires that you have faith in his plan. Whoa, that's the tough one. To have faith means trusting in his plan. This means that you trust that his plan is better than your plan. You may have a plan for your life, but God has a plan, too. Did you know that? Hey, you may have your whole life mapped out, but God has a plan for you. Did you know that? This is the first step in walking back and discovering God's will for your life. This means that if you trust that his plan is better than your plan, you may have a plan for your life, but God has a plan too. And all too often, guess what? The plans are different. They were different in my life. And someday I'm going to have Kathleen or Anton interview me about my life, as I would like to interview them to see how God changed my life in 15 different directions. I never had one course. I had 10 courses. Change in direction all the time, just like a sailboat. Just like a sailboat. When I see a sailboat, I think of, wow, I thought I was going this way, and the Lord changed me back this way. And it's amazing how he kept calling me to trust the new direction. The next step requires that you have faith in this plan. And I believe most people want only their will. Oh, it's so much easier, you think, if I just stick to my plan, not God's will. You can tell when you're living your will, because guess what? You do not have peace. P-E-A-C-E. If you're not living God's will, you do not have peace, and you won't attain peace. You may have temporary peace. For example, if you just won the lottery, you think, oh, I'll have peace forever. But when you interview people who have won the lottery, yeah, they had peace with the new boats, the new houses, paying off bills. Eventually, they didn't have peace because they need to live in God's will. You're always trying to do the next best thing. Is that you? Are you always trying to do the next best thing? You're always trying to fill up the emptiness because you're not doing what you were created to do. You thought you knew what you were doing, but you're always trying to fill up that emptiness. Are you with alcohol, drugs, friendships that are not of God? food, running around, busyness. God can fix that if you let him, and if you do it his way. God can fix it if you let him and do it his way. This has to be practical. Did you know that? God is very practical. I think I shared this with you last summer. I love this. I once heard a story that Ruth Graham, the wife of Billy Graham, used to say, and this is well documented. She said, "I'm so glad that God said no to prayer. What? Otherwise, I would have married the wrong person 3 different times." What she meant was that she dated 3 different men, and she said to God, "Oh, this is the one I want. This is the one I want to marry." And God said, "No, no, no, Ruth." She dated another person. And again, God said, "No, no, no, Ruth." She found a third person. Again, God said, "No." Finally, he gave her Billy Graham. And God said, "Yes, he's the one." She had waited until God said yes. That is what we all must do in our lives. God's will is always better than our own will. You cannot see tomorrow, but God can. He wants you to be happy more than you want to be happy. I'm going to repeat that again. God wants you to be happy more than you want to be happy. Because of the free will he gives us, we can really mess this all up. And trust me, I have. But that is not what God wants. That is why it's very important before you and I do anything, we discern it. Oh, that word discern makes people shake in their boots or their sandals or their flip-flops. What? Discernment? Isn't that for priests, pastors, nuns? No, it's for you, the common housewife, you who are a data entry person, who cleans houses, a doctor, a lawyer. If it comes down to choosing God's will or your will, we need to choose God's will, always. God, is this what you want of me? Then if it comes down to choosing God's will or your will, you know you choose to do God's will. Once you believe that God has a plan for your life, you have got to be willing to discard your plan for his plan. That's going to take some faith. It's not easy. I know. Who said it would be? You willing to give up your plans for his plan? In Hebrews 10, 35 to verse 36, and write this down, Hebrews 10, 35 to 36, we read, "Do not then surrender your confidence," which we all surrender, don't we? When we get scared and we don't want to do God's will, we start shaking in our boots. So Hebrews 10, 35 to 36, "Do not then surrender your confidence. It will have great reward. You need patience to do God's will and receive what he has promised." We all need patience. I don't do very well with that. As anyone could tell you, I don't have patience. Embrace the will of God by making an act of faith. Yep. Embrace the will of God by making an act of faith and then have patience. So when I tell people, and I've written a book about discerning God's will, I tell them, by the way, it's out of print, they cannot just go into a chapel for 5 minutes. After this radio program, I'm running to the chapel or my room and I'm going to pray for God's will. And expect God to tell you what to do. It may take a week, may take a month, it may take 6 months, may take a year. God does not give you the ticket to get on the train until that train comes into the station. Don't you love that? I have that written down in my Bible. God does not give you the ticket to get on the train until the train comes into the station. I don't know about you, but that can be pretty scary because we want to know our future all the time. That's why so many people turn to fortune tellers, by the way, and mediums, which are not from God. They are not from God. God does not give you the ticket to get on the train until the train comes into the station. God never tells us our future. Boom, as the kids say. God never tells us our future. That's just the way it is, friends. It's just the way it is. He's not going to tell you the date of the end of the world. He will not. And if someone tells you, it is not from God. You have to say, if God wills this, then it will be. I have to want what God wants, because he may change his plan or your plan. We must be open to whatever he is calling us to. Plan is better than our own plans, even when we have planned our plan from A to Z. I don't know about you. I used to love to plan my plan. I had my whole life planned out, and not one thing happened. Not one thing happened. Because once you surrender your life to God, he takes you on a journey that's unbelievable. And someone asked me recently, all the bad things that have happened to you physically, how do you get through this? How do you keep going? And I said, it's prayer. It seems like a simple answer, doesn't it? But it is prayer. You have to practice it. Like, you do your exercises, you run, you walk, you do weights. You have to practice. You have to get your spiritual life in order. It's not something that you click your fingers and voila, you have it all together. And as Kathleen McCarthy has said so many times on her radio broadcast on Tuesdays over the past year, we are in a time of persecution, and we are entering into a greater time of persecution. If you are not living according to God's will and in a life of prayer, and if you have not surrendered your life to God's will, I'm not quite sure how you'll handle the persecution, or you're handling it now. The next step in discerning God's will is to deal with the obstacles in your life. Oh, obstacles, not my favorite topic. Obstacles. One of these is our past. Do you go over and over and over and over your past? Too many people let their past dictate their future. Now, let me be very clear here on this radio broadcast. In order to make sure you get this into your being, the devil always keeps us focused on ourselves and our past. Be it good or bad, God always keeps us focused on him and the future. And the greatest example of this, my friends, is St. Peter walking on the water. That's in Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. As long as Peter was looking at Jesus, he was fine. He could walk on water because that was God's will. As long as Peter was looking at Jesus, he was fine. The same is true for you. As long as you're looking at God and his will and not yourself and your weakness or vulnerabilities or the storm surrounding you today, you will be perfectly fine. As soon as Peter started looking at himself or at the situation, he began to fall. How often do we do that? How did he get back up? Well, he focused on Jesus. He cried out, Jesus, Lord, save me. So it is in our own lives we focus on what Christ is calling us to do. We focus on the future. And we let the past be the past. My friends, after the break, we're going to go into more depth of how to surrender our lives to God and to discover his will and how to receive peace today. How to receive peace. So after this break, we'll be back. Stay with us.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in His love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, my friends, it is a pleasure to be with you. My name is Anne McGlone. You're listening to Thy Will Be Done on In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm calling in from a remote location today. It's my first live broadcast, July 12th, 2021, since early May after serious eye surgery. And I am thrilled to be back with you live today. And a special loving thanks to Dr. Anton Raimondo for his great gifts and for filling in all those times for me, and for all the support of WTMR and In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. Before I go any further, I just wanted to share the Ad Lumina Christi Retreat is coming up in November at Malvern Retreat House with Kathleen McCarthy. You do not want to wait to the last minute to sign up for this life-changing retreat. It starts on a Monday night and ends on a Friday morning. I do not have the dates in front of me, but you can go to Malvern Retreat House site on the calendar, and you will see it in early November. Father Dermot Roche will be with Kathleen. Everyone who has attended this retreat says it has changed his or her life. So you do not want to miss it. It's called Ad Lumina Christi Retreat. You do not want to miss this retreat, and don't wait to the last minute because it fills up quickly. And you also want to support this radio network. Kathleen receives no salary. None of the broadcasters receive a salary, only one person, an administrator. It is totally, totally a volunteer network. So when you're on 40-plus consecutive years, what does it say? Thank you, faithful and loving listeners, for all that you've done for this network. My friends, we're talking about, you know, insensitive slurs and discerning God's will in your life today. And in preparing for this program, I really sensed today that there were people who would be listening who needed to hear this today. So this is why no special guest. It's very, very, and I hope everyone can hear me clearly because I'm in a remote location. So as soon as Peter started looking at himself or the situation with the water, he began to fall. Now think about yourself. you're in a boat or you're looking at Jesus, you get out of the boat, wouldn't you sink to the bottom? The only way you would be a life preserver. So how did Peter get back up? He focused on Jesus. He cried out, Lord, save me. So no matter what situation you are in today, you're out of the boat. You need to focus on Jesus at this second and cry out, Lord, save me. So it is in our own lives. We focus on what Christ is calling us to do. We focus on the future, and we let the past be the past. Whoa, that is so hard, isn't it? Let the past be the past. It doesn't matter where you've been. It only matters where you are going. It doesn't matter where you've been. It only matters where you're going. And again, if you're addicted to drugs, alcohol, you're in the midst of a divorce, separation, a loss of business, cancer, depression, look to the future and cry out, Lord, save me. Another obstacle to discern God's will is our sin. Sin keeps us from doing God's will because you're doing your own will. Did you know that? You have to deal with your sin, which means you repent, means you're sorry, and you surrender to God and start being obedient to him and his law. One of the biggest obstacles is fear. What did Jesus say about fear? Are you scared? Are you really scared? Fear is useless. What is needed is trust. Mark 5, verse 36. If God says fear is useless, then it's useless. So why do we let our fears determine what our vocation will be? God loves you. No matter what condition you're in today, God loves you. He knows how it's going to work out in the end. You don't, but he does. He knows how the situation that you're in will work out in the end. You need to look at it this way. Since God is in the eternal now, you're already in heaven or hell before him. Some of you are in hell today. You're tormented. He already knows how it's going to work out. He knows tomorrow for you. He can see it. He has already been there. He says, I'm here. Do not worry. Come here. I'm going to take care of you. But so often, how often do we say this? Well, I don't know about that, God. I just don't know about that. Well, you cannot let fear enter into any of your discernment. Fear is the enemy of discernment. Fear can do nothing to help you with your discernment. Fear always comes from the devil. It never comes from God. Jesus said, fear is useless. And then he added, and it's in Mark 5:36, what is needed is trust. What helps us to trust? One word. What helps us to trust? Answer that. Wherever you're at, in your car, your computer, in the kitchen, in a prison, in a homeless shelter, on the beach, what helps us to trust? The answer, love. Perfect love casts out all fear. When we're in love with God, we can trust him because we know him. Think about the nicest, kindest person you know right now. God is 1,000 times more caring than that person. The more you come to know how much God loves you, the more he will let you know that he will take good care of you. Now, I know there happens to be some listeners who are saying, we need to be afraid of God. You quote the scriptures, fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom from Proverbs 1, verse 7. And you're also likely to point out that fear of the Lord is one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. But this is not the type of fear that we're talking about today. We're talking about the kind of fear that is only concerned about stuff and what is going to happen to me. Not fear to do with the Lord. This is totally different. This is different fear. That is the awe and amazement we feel when we realize who God is. The kind of fear that comes from the devil, the obstacle of our will. It is a wanting to do things our way instead of God's way. And my friends, that's when you have a lack of peace, when you want to do it your way and not God's way. So when you pray for peace, you ask for God's way. When you're afraid or worried, combat it with trust. A fireman knows he needs water and the fire hose to combat fire. Well, you need to know when you're worried or afraid, combat it with trust. And the best way to do this is when you're tempted to be afraid to cry out to Jesus 100 times a day. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. So many times I've shared this prayer with my grandchildren, my own children, with people I pray with. They say, I can't pray. I don't know what to pray. Jesus, I trust in you. When Jesus appeared to St. Faustina Kowalski, giving her the message of divine mercy, he told her that he wants people to trust. He asked to have an image of him painted. And under that image, and if you don't have it, get one. Jesus, I trust in you. If you struggle with fear today, I highly encourage you to get one of these pictures. Put it in your prayer place and tell Jesus often that you trust him, even though you don't feel it. Make a decision to trust him. It drives the devil crazy. And the next thing that helps you to discern is the Holy Spirit. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is discernment of spirits. That's 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. Those who view or involved in renewal know this scripture. To one he gives discernment or distinguishing of spirits. It is the Holy Spirit who reveals to us the mind of God and leads us in his holy will. We see this in the life of Jesus right from the beginning of his ministry. After Jesus was baptized, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, then returned from the Jordan and was conducted by the Holy Spirit into the desert. Another word for conducted is led. Led, a conductor at an orchestra. So if Jesus, who is God, needed the Holy Spirit, guess what? He lets the Holy Spirit lead him, so it must be in our lives. This is why discerning God's will is not magic. Oh, how many times have I heard from teenagers and young adults, well, I prayed, I really prayed, and nothing happened. So, I think you think prayer is magical. Well, discerning God's will is not magic. It's not superstition. It's not asking for a sign from heaven. This is not being led by the Holy Spirit. Wake up call, ring the bell. It's not magic. Jesus does not just live in the Holy Spirit. He gives the Holy Spirit to us to lead us. In John 14:26, we read the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will instruct you in everything and remind you of all that I told you. When the Spirit comes, however, being the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will only speak of what he hears and will announce to you the things that are to come. One of the greatest practices to help you're listening today, in this is the daily prayer to the Holy Spirit, in which you give the Spirit of God permission to lead you. Permission. And I ask you to read the Acts of the Apostles tonight. Open your Bible. Dust it off. Get the big one that's in the hallway from Grandmom. The Acts of the Apostles. Read it. Say, oh, I don't get anything out of it. Just keep reading it slowly and slowly every night. One of the ways that both of us can be open to discernment is to fast. Go to daily mass if you can, and then the Spirit can speak to you. fasting opens you up to receive his will. When you're fasting at Mass, you become an open vessel to be filled with God. I just told someone last night in praying, you don't have to fast from food. You could fast from TV. You can fast from something that you're addicted to, like social media. You fast. You take away cigarettes, maybe alcohol. Fast. Give up something that you really like. Give it up, but for, not for losing weight or not drinking, but for praying for yourself to listen to the will of God and to the Holy Spirit. One other thing that you have to do is discern whether it is the Holy Spirit or whether it's an evil spirit. Well, that's a whole other program in which I am going to have a priest on in the studio with me to discuss it. The evil spirit can come to us and appear as something good. Oh, yeah. Especially New Age nonsense. The devil often appears as an angel of light, appearing to be good. And the devil can appear in all kinds of ways. And the demon once appeared to St. Padre Pio as the Blessed Mother, and once as Jesus. And St. Pio sprinkled holy water, which every home should have, saying, "Praise be Jesus Christ," and the devil left. John 4, 1 through 6 tells us that we need to test the spirits. This way, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will see that Jesus is present. The Holy Spirit is always going to be for the building up of the community, not the building up of the self. A question to ask today, if you're listening, is this. Is it for the good of all or the good of just me? Is it for the good of all or the good of just me? Hey, guess what? There are no lone rangers in the kingdom of Christianity. There are no lone rangers in Christianity. It's always involving the whole community as you grow into the community of Christ. And another gift that we've been given to help us discern the Holy Spirit, this is in a whole other program I did last year, I'm going to revisit it, is angels. Now, I'm not talking about crystals and all the crazy New Age angels that you read about or see on TV. The main purpose of an angel is to convey the will of God to us. When you read in the sacred scriptures in the Old Testament, the book of Tobit, T-O-B-I-T, Raphael, the archangel, appears in Tobit to lead Tobias through all these different things. He appears and says, "Hey, I'm Raphael, one of the seven angels that stands before the face of God." Another example is the Blessed Mother in Luke 1, 26 to 38, where the angel Gabriel appears and reveals the will of God to her. And an angel appears in a dream to Joseph. So the angels convey God's will to us. Padre Pio, boy, read some of his writings. Go visit the shrine of St. Padre Pio in Bartow, Pennsylvania. Padre Pio was very big about praying to your guardian angel every day. Once when the devils were attacking him, his guardian angel was singing and dancing around his head. That's what I read. And he yelled at his guardian angel, "You have an angel given to you by God himself to guard you, your children, your marriage, to lead you." Remember the power of the guardian angel. How many of you remember the prayer? I don't even know if children are taught this today, but do you remember? And if you do, pray it with me. O angel of God, my guardian dear, by whom God's love and trust thee here, ever this day be at my side, to light and guard, to lead and guide, amen. Do you remember that? We were taught that at a very young age. And I pray that children are taught that and that adults use this. You were given your guardian angel when you were born to get you into heaven. Did you know that? If you have a discerning heart and you pray to your guardian angel, you have somebody that's always with you that's going to help you. And St. Padre Pio encouraged people to pray to their guardian angels for protection. Because the angel's been given to you by God to lead you to his will. They're real, and we all have these angels to lead us and guide us. Did you know that? So, here we go. There are no neutral steps in this journey. You're either walking toward God or you're walking away from God. So ask your question today. Are you walking towards God today, or are you backing up slowly or quickly away from God? Answer that. How do we make this practical? How do you make a daily decision? How do you decide if God wants you to be a priest, married, a nun, a single person for life? How do you do that? Well, here's some options. Now, this is going to take a little time and a whole other program, but I'll give you, as my daughter calls it, the cliff notes. You say to God, I will only do what you want. Now, if you're making any decision in your life, if it's going to be a life-changing decision, you have to make sure that you're praying about it and that you tell God that you only want what he wants. Oh, my goodness. You only want what he wants. And then you say, is that what you want, God? If I were to die today and I did this, is that what you wanted me to do? Some things God will give you no peace about, so get rid of those options. You don't have peace with someone or a decision. They're not, should not be part of your life. By peace, what is peace? It means oneness with God, oneness with others, oneness with yourself. Is it a tranquility of oneness? Well, if so, it clicks. It's like putting the last piece of a puzzle in place. The reason it clicks is because this is what you were created for. You'll wake up and say, oh, all this makes sense now. A Christian, we should have peace. Yes, as Christians, we should have peace. When we lose peace, we know that we're not in the will of God. So if one choice brings anxiety, confusion, depression, this is never of God. Get rid of it. God is a God, not of confusion, but of peace. Yes, he's a God of peace, not confusion. So all the red flags should go up. I've been talking to you for close to an hour. Sin is really the same thing. It makes us step out of the will of God. And you really need to understand that we need to be in the will of God. You need to understand that. How many times have I heard on radio broadcasts, secular broadcasts, just have common sense? Well, sometimes God does not work through common sense. Oh, wake up call. Sometimes God does not work through common sense. God told an old man named Abram to leave everything and go where God would show him. Genesis 12, verses 1, he tells a 14-year-old woman she's going to be the mother of God. Are you kidding me? And she is not going to have intimate relations. What? And she's going to have a baby? This is not common sense. So common sense isn't always the way of discerning God's will. A great spiritual principle for you to know is this. God does not send a person to another country without first putting the love of that country in their heart. God does not tell you to give up your job, give up your marriage, give up anything without putting that information in your heart. So at my age of 68, I've heard people in my lifetime say, God told me to tell you. No, 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 no. God first places it in my heart. Then if someone will confirm it, that's different. But if that news is news, so God told me you should move to New Zealand. Really? When did God tell you that? And how did he tell you? These people are not from God. They're not from God. But if God told me in prayer, hey, Anne, I want you to move to New Zealand, and someone confirmed it, that's from God. You need to understand that because there are so many deceptions. This is why you have to increase your prayer life. God does not send a person to you without putting the love of whatever that decision in your own heart. This may be news to some of you, but it is truth. You may not be all excited about it at first, but if it is of God, he'll change you. So say God told me, I want you to go to New Zealand. I'm like, I am not going to New Zealand. No way. And somebody comes up and says, you know, God told me that you should go to New Zealand, and I'm still have my back up against the wall. Eventually, God will change my heart. That's how it'll happen. Your heart toward what he wants you to do. You will know God's will when you discern what gives you peace. Peace is the key anchor to your decisions in your life, to your friendships, to your choices, to your getting well. Peace. You will know it. Once you know God's will, then you're going to have to live it. And that means you become a living sacrifice. So here are a couple steps to surrendering your life to God today. Are you ready? You may want to write some of these down. Number one, believe that God has a specific plan for your life. I don't care what spiritual condition you're in today. God has a plan for your life. Two, believe his plan is better than yours. It always is. Believe his plan is better than yours. Three, be patient. Be patient. Four, ask God to remove all fear from your life right now. Ask God to remove all fear from your life right now. Number five, surrender your will to his. Surrender your will, Mary, George, Joey, John, to God's will right now. Six, ask the Holy Spirit for help. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me, Holy Spirit. Write down your options. Write down your options. Focus on what gives you peace. Focus on what gives you peace. Get input from others or a certified spiritual director, which are very difficult to find, but they're out there. Do whatever gives you God's peace. Do whatever gives you God's peace. Here is a special prayer that I want to offer up. Oh, Holy Spirit, beloved of my soul, I adore you. Enlighten me, guide me, strengthen me, console me. Tell me what I should do. Give me your orders. I promise to submit myself to all that you desire of me and to accept all that you permit to happen to me. Let me only know your will. I shared this story last year, and I really want to begin to close out the program with it because I think it's so powerful. It deals with St. Francis of Assisi. Francis, what if I were to tell you that in 3 hours you would be dead? What would you do? St. Francis said, I would keep hoeing my garden. He was able to say that because he was doing the will of God. The key to this kind of peace is to live every day so that no matter what happens, if God calls you home today, my dear friend, my dear listener, it does not matter. You keep on doing what you're doing because this is God's will. Isn't that powerful? You keep on doing what you're doing because it's God's will. Our weariness today, yes, refreshes others. Our weariness refreshes others. It is not hopeless. We become saints when our will and God's will become one. Are you willing to become a saint today? Are you willing to give up the insensitive slurs that we talked about at the beginning of the program? Are you willing to do God's will? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray for everyone who has listened that you touch them and heal them in a very, very special way. Heal them. And until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may Our Lady's mantle be embraced around you. God bless you.
Tune in next week for a new dose of hope.